Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Ben Klube, CEO of Energy Pathways. Welcome back to the podcast, Ben.
Hi there, good to be back.
Absolutely, yes. Obviously, we saw the recent news that the company has completed pre-FEED and selected the technical design for phase one of the Marram Energy Storage Hub Mesh, developed with Wood PLC, Mermaid Subsea Services and PDI Limited. Mesh will integrate gas storage, hydrogen, offshore wind and decarbonised power, repurposing late-life gas infrastructure. Phase one focuses on the Marram gas field, targeting FID by late 2025 and first production by 2027, with an unmanned platform, new pipelines and low emission tech. It will store 500 to 600 million therms of gas with daily injection withdrawal rates of 1.7 to 2 million therms. CEO Ben Klube, you emphasise Mesh's role in securing low emission energy, stabilising prices and attracting investment. So tell us more about these pre-FEED developments, please, Ben.
Yeah, so we're really pleased to have got to this milestone for the Mesh project. So we've selected the development design of the project, and some of the details of that are set out in the RNS. But in brief, we're doing a platform development that will sit on top of the Marram gas field, which is the gas storage feature that we're developing. And then that platform, which will effectively house four wells for production and storage operations that will be drilled in two phases, actually. That platform will then be connected to an existing gas pipeline via a subsea pipeline that we'll install. And that will then, that existing trunk line will connect into the UK gas grid, or the NTS. And the facilities are wrapped around that offshore. It'll be powered by renewable energy, so wind and solar facilities. And then onshore, we're using ultra low emission and electrified gas processing type equipment for the onshore facilities. So with that, we've effectively got an ultra low emission operation. And that's an attractive thing from a regulatory point as well, a view, as well as obviously environmental. And we're also doing, with this development, we're repurposing existing facilities, so pipeline and gas processing facilities. Really, we're doing that. What we do is we create a new energy hub, which is low emission in nature, that can be used to give a new lease of life to that infrastructure and harness some of the energy potential of the region. So yeah, we're really excited about the development design we've come up with. It's what we consider leading edge, low carbon, and it'll have an asset life, 20 to 25 years, and really opens up this area for the UK from an energy transition point of view.
I guess the question is then, because this is a fantastic update, what do you need to do now, between now and your final investment decision? What kind of box needs to be checked off? Are there licenses you need to get hold of potentially, or any kind of regulatory approvals?
Yeah, there's a number of things that happen from where we've got to and to the FID. The engineering work for the selected design goes to a greater level of detail. There are, as you've mentioned, there's license approvals to be secured. So we currently have a production license over the area. We have an application in for a storage license, and obviously the two sort of talk to each other with the sort of project we're doing as a total energy system solution. And then there's various sort of steps in the way of approvals as we go towards FID, things like environmentals and such like.
Yeah.
And then also, as we move through this process, we transition into procurement and planning for execution type activities as we head towards FID. Also running in parallel to all of that, we will be also maturing our hydrogen side of the project and our gas and mesh power project at the concept engineering end of the spectrum. And we'll also, during the course of this year, be getting ready for an application for a hydrogen storage allocation round process, which is sort of the government-led support for hydrogen storage development. And Over and above all of that, we also have putting in place project financing arrangements for the initial phase of the development. So really, there's an awful lot
Busy,
going
busy.
on, but it's all of this sort of joins up ultimately to reach a final investment decision, so that we have a fully integrated execution plan supported by commercial agreements, financing agreements, and detailed engineering complete it to so we can, you know, meet that threshold or meet that milestone.
Yeah, I mean, on the financing, the repurposing of the industrial land in Barrow and Furness, repurposing industrial land, in my view, tends to be more expensive. Perhaps it's quicker and cheaper with this particular project. But then you're also upgrading and repurposing, you know, these onshore gas facilities that are already there, which might save you money. So what kind of checks and balances do you have between those?
Well, the benefit primarily by doing brownfield type development here is around timetables and regulatory approval. So going to a greenfield site we see as
Or in the
a longer
UK.
process.
Yeah, that's fair enough. In terms of the hydrogen storage that you've got with the salt cavern hydrogen storage potential, how quick massively does it future-proof the project? Because it seems that there's very limited hydrogen storage in the UK, and yet it seems to be where the government wants to invest at the moment.
I mean, that statement is correct. Hydrogen storage is viewed by the UK government as the major
Holy
component
Grail almost.
of energy storage for the long term. And in the government's strategic plans for the UK energy system, what they're looking for is hydrogen storage projects that can be brought into operation from at the end of this decade. That's the timetable that is being aspired to here. So obviously, in order to bring such storage capacity into the market, the government needs to be starting to make decisions around moving projects forward in the near term.
They do take their time to make those decisions, don't they? But, you know, having said that, I mean, we're talking about just energy storage in general. Rough isn't enough. We saw with the energy shocks when Russia invaded Ukraine, energy storage is kind of top of the political agenda. I mean, there's not very many projects like this in the UK, just in general, are there?
No, I mean, we think we're maybe unique. I think maybe a lot of energy solutions that are being considered by companies, let's say, can be siloed in the approach, so oil and gas or power generation or whatever. So what we think we're doing, which is different, is looking at it with a total energy system lens to how we go about it. And where there's integration opportunities that are available. And we think this region that we're in, the ROC or the northwest of England, is ideal and arguably unique for achieving, you know, high value, low cost total energy solutions, because we can connect hydrogen storage potential, as we've just discussed, high quality gas storage potential that we're developing, and connecting large scale wind generating capacity, and also connect it to the UK's planned development of hydrogen economy and hydrogen markets. So there's not many places I would suggest that
That is
within
even
the UK
possible.
where this total energy system approach can be applied in an effective manner.
I love your politician's language, I say possible. Implied in an effective manner. Wonderful. The thing is with this though is trying to think, I've lost my train of thought there. The financing of this project is it seems actually relatively affordable in terms of the money that goes into energy storage in general. But what's the financing discussions going like at the moment? I mean, having now achieved the this you know this latest RNS, what's the conversations going like at the moment? Because you want to have a decision by the end of the year, don't you?
So this milestone is important from a financing discussion point of view, because it clearly frames the development design of the project, and that's an important thing to have available in financing discussions. But our discussions to date, we've been very encouraged by the interest in the MASH project, and we think that we have potential to access capital from, let's say, certainly non-traditional E&P oil and gas type financing sources. So we're getting interest from infrastructure type investors. We're getting interest from clean energy investors. So we think there's The mesh project has financial attraction to those financial stakeholders.
I get, well, there's a lot of ESG credits in it as well, potentially for a lot of these stakeholders. And then, you know, when we talk about government support, whether direct or indirect, I mean, grant funding for energy infrastructure is going to be there. Presumably, could that form a part of the financing package? Or are you looking to go down the traditional routes?
No, all the above.
Sorry.
So government support is part of the mix in this. So we've got let's say a number of avenues that we'll be exploring, but those conversations are let's say at the early stage. But now we have a defined, selected project definition. Those sorts of conversations can move quite promptly now.
Yeah, well, I think it was when you got the just over £5 million, the green loan facility that you secured. You know, up until that point, I think there were a lot of investors saying that it's not going to happen. This is a difficult project to bring online. And then securing that institutional funding that gives you that pathway to get to that final investment decision by the end of the year is just a lot of confidence, I guess, brought into the market. Obviously, the share price rocketed up. It's come down a little bit now, but I'm guessing institutional interest, as you're saying, it is still quite high, and new investors might come on board at some point in the near future, I guess, is the hope.
Yeah, I think as we near towards FID, the institutional appetite, let's say, is going to increase. So we're seeing that interest in mesh as we move it forward and better define it and to make progress with the project. So that interest seems to be building.
When you were invited to the UK Department Energy Security and Net Zero to participate in the hydrogen storage business model that you were just alluding to, who else is part of that partnership? Who else is in the room with you? Who else has been invited to talk to discuss effectively that scheme?
Yeah, I don't think that's sort of. There's some, let's say, major players in the energy
I know
space.
there's a nomad out there screaming at the moment, but I've got to ask the
Yeah.
question, don't you?
Yeah. But let's say there's the major players. Energy Pathways is in very good company by participating in that forum, and we're very pleased to be invited into this forum. We like to think that that's because the type of hydrogen storage project that we are envisaging and have described is strongly aligned to the DESNZ or Department of Energy Security and Net Zero aspirations for hydrogen storage. And it's that total energy system approach, I think, is a major attractive feature of MESH to the government, because we are well positioned to connect hydrogen production to hydrogen markets with our storage.
Well, I guess, you know, for example, the government, the aim is 10 gigawatts of low carbon hydrogen production by 2030. That's, you know, less than 5 years away now. How is that going to be possible without large scale hydrogen storage? It isn't. And as we say, that there's very few, if, you know, very limited projects out there. So it seems to me that the investment case is actually is very strong, because you have the government's backing, even if it's not explicitly stated. Maybe.
You're answering your own questions here,
Should
Charles.
I? Oh, I try not to. Well, DNA, I know he can't answer it, but if I just say it and he doesn't
So
reply,
you asked it and then
I can't
answered.
help myself.
The RNS that came out, that basically now precludes that the pre-FEED is complete. Yes, we're finished.
We're going to be making some more releases around pre-FEED conclusions
Okay.
in the coming weeks, which we're looking forward to sharing with the market. But this is the sort of the major milestone that we wanted to get to with the pre-FEED, and we can move on into more detailed engineering activities with our
Yeah.
partnership group.
And I suppose these were a couple of questions somebody sent me as well. What are we dependent? I don't know whether this is worded very well. So what about the licensing? When do we expect the decision for licensing on Marram? And what is the situation with the other two blocks that you've got as well?
So on the licensing front, the guidance that we received from the regulator was early 2025. So we're expecting news of that soon, and we're waiting for outcomes in fairly shortly.
Okay, so you think you should get some info pretty quickly. And what about the other ones? I know they're a bit further off. Have we applied for the licenses for the other two blocks? Excuse me, I forget the names of the blocks, but
Knox and Lowry, and
Knox and Larry.
those requests have been with the regulator for a while, but our focus right now is progressing with the immediate licenses for the first phase of the development. We'll pick up momentum on those, once the first phase of licenses have been considered and hopefully awarded.
Okay, very good. So this is a, I suppose my question, what can, you don't have to answer this, but I hope you will. What can go wrong for this not to happen?
You don't ask that, Kev. That's
No,
not, you
no.
don't ask that question.
No, you do ask that question. You might not get an answer, but you ask that question.
Finally learning to address what the risk, ask some of the
What are
risks.
He's been
the
optimistic for
risks?
years.
What are the risks? We know what the upside is because the upside is phenomenal, and we all agree that that is the case. I mean, I think you're going to have pension funds and different sort of annuity orientated people drooling over this investment as it lasts, not just 25 years, but probably much longer. But what are the risks to it not taking place so people can have a balanced view?
Well, what we're doing is something like we've discussed already, something different. It is maybe a novel approach to energy projects, and that novel approach brings complexity and new challenges with it by its nature. But we're very pleased with the progress we've made to date, and we'll continue to push the project forward to an FID.
But there's nothing new in inverted commas from an engineering perspective in terms of all of this. I presume all of this has been done before somewhere else, and so we're not creating something, very new. It's just the way that you've put it all together in terms of the fact that you've got energy being created by different sources to create what you're eventually going to have. Is that fair to say or not?
No, we're using proven technology, albeit sometimes modern technology and approaches. But we're not a technology risk taker. We're applying proven technology to solve solutions.
I won't ask any more difficult questions.
I mean, I guess the final investment decision, start of production in 2027. I guess my question is,
End of 27.
end of 27, assuming all goes according to plan and everything works and everything's fine, and we know delays happen and things go wrong, and when you're building something like this, things can take longer than you hope. But assuming it all goes according to plan, where does that position Mesh in the UK's energy storage system compared to, for example, the major companies out there?
So, in terms of the first phase of Mesh as a gas production and storage utility, that facility is in the order of 2/3 of current UK's current storage capacity.
Wow.
So, it would be a major energy storage facility when it gets brought into operation and production. And we think equivalent to the current largest storage facility, which is Rough, potentially larger.
Potentially larger. Wonderful. And on that note, on that bombshell, as a favourite
On
Mr.
that
Clarkson
bombshell,
might
yeah,
say.
we will say Ben Klube, CEO of Energy Pathways. Thanks very much for appearing on the podcast.
Thanks very much.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.